studio now we have Kay Hogan, coordinator for St. Vincent de Paul, and she's going to talk to me about the events that are going on in St. Vincent de Paul at the moment. And we know now that at the moment, at Christmas time and coming up to Christmas time, the festive season, which is getting very festive at the moment as far as I can see, and Kay and all the people in Vincent de Paul now are doing the rounds with regard to all sorts of things, and of course the weather has got very, very cold, and quite a lot of people will be looking for a bit of support maybe from Vincent de Paul over the winter time, you know. And we know we have a giving tree, so maybe you'll tell us what locations the giving trees are in this year.
Well, good afternoon, Austin, and it's good to be back. It's the whole year, actually, since I was here talking to you. Now, about the giving trees are put up in shopping centres, as you are aware, and we cover some of the shopping centres around here. I must say, for the last few years, Aldi, they didn't have a tree up, but all the goods that were given in the local shops were given to the Vincent de Paul, and we were more than happy to accept them, because we have a women's refuge in our area. We would have a number of organisations, you know, where we could pass on the goods. But unfortunately, Aldi are not doing it for us this year. But we do say a very sincere thank you to them and their staff. They were always so courteous to me. And on a few occasions, the staff in Aldi clubbed together and bought things for the Vincent de Paul. And all that sort of thing is very much appreciated.
Well, I'd say so. Now, of course, now we have all sorts of situations. We have children staying in all sorts of accommodation, in hotels if they can get into them, B&B and all sorts of other bits and pieces. And that's not counting the amount that are staying with relatives permanently.
Yes, well, that's very true. But we have a giving tree in Clare Hall. We have another one down in Artane Castle, another one in Northside Shopping Centre that we look after, you know, the goods from the giving tree. And we also have a huge warehouse in our headquarters in John McDermott Street, where a lot of things are taken, we'll say, from the likes of Tala, Blanchardstown, you know. So there's a central depot where we can all get our needs for the children. But I suppose, Austin, like everything else, we don't go in for giving huge presents to children.
No,
I think, you know, I would be very happy to see every child getting a gift. You know, but some families really and truly go overboard. Christmas, unfortunately, is not like Christmas's years
ago.
Well,
it's gone super commercial.
Yes, and I think it's very sad that we're celebrating the birth of Christ and people want the crib to be done away with. And it's nothing but commercialism, which is very, very sad. I listened to Alice Taylor on the television one night last week, and I was more than impressed with her, the way she spoke about Christmas, her Christmases long ago, and how she, when she got her first doll, and the importance of having a candle in the window for the Christ child passing by at night, you know, and the singing of the Christmas carols, sending cards at Christmas, you know. But nowadays, people, and I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people don't want religious cards. They'd say, why not? Why do you not have a nice scene on a card? You know, but there's more than scenes attached to Christmas.
Well, that brings me to the snowy scenes on the card, and always, you know, always winter on the card.
Yes.
But winter, with regard to quite a lot of people, they dread the winter because of the cold and the isolation and all sorts of other bits and pieces. It's not like it was donkeys years ago. And that brings me, we're going to do programs here now in the next year, in the new year, we're putting this together now.
Yes, but
about
also
your
when
mother
you're talking
and father's time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and of course, Christmas will come, nostalgia will come to end up at Christmas one way or another, you know.
That's very true.
Yeah, and that's sort of flagged for next year. And we're hoping to do that. But that brings us back to you know, Christmas, a sense of Christmas now is have a good time.
Yes, that's very true.
Have a good time. Celebrate, all right, and all sorts of business. Of course, it depends on your age, you know.
Yes.
The younger people have been around town and looking at lights and all sort of.
Yes, but
maybe senior citizens maybe.
Yes.
a bit hesitant going in.
Yes, you have to think this time of year. It is coming up to Christmas, but now is the time. People living alone are so vulnerable. Yeah. We have so many break-ins.
Oh, well,
that's
on a rise. Well, of course,
it is rising, unfortunately.
And
no matter how well protected some people are, it's still not good enough.
Yeah, well, I know. we have experienced where people have broken into the houses while people were in the houses.
That's right, yes.
And threatening them and all sorts of things, you know, and then that leads back to another set of circumstances.
Yes.
But they seem to be doing it with impunity.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
They don't have any conscience whatsoever. And people, elderly people particularly, are afraid in their own homes at night. They're afraid to go out. They're afraid to open the doors. And you can understand why they're like that, because if you look at prime time and see the vicious attacks on people, particularly elderly living alone.
Yes, ma'am, there was quite a... three individuals sent to jail for quite a long time, and lots of people saying it's not long enough, but however, we can't comment on that.
Well, you see, it's the taxpayers are paying to keep them in prison as well, but some people never learn.
They
just don't want to.
The crime has always been with us, but not at the stage it is now.
Yes.
And of course, that brings us back to the commercialism type of thing.
It is.
You have to have X amount, etc.
Yes.
And it goes totally in the opposite direction to a Christian festival, as such, where observance and all that type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And but what is, you know. But like you were saying, you have to collect X amount. I believe that Vincent de Paul spent about something like 40 million a year, or something in the region of that. Well, that's the figure I heard now.
Yes, I know we spent over 7 million last Christmas.
Oh, 7 million
yes,
Christmas,
yeah,
and
Christmas,
then the rest
Christmas
of the year.
Alone. But that's only a fraction of what we spend our money on, because we do believe in helping people pay their utility bills. Particularly elderly people need heat.
We did quite a lot on that. They do need heat. The fuel announcer is quite a help too, but quite a lot of people don't even know how to apply for it.
Well, that's very true, but then, you know, it has been very cold, and it's great having a fuel allowance, but if you haven't got a fire in your house...
Oh, well, that's an entirely...
you don't have a fire in your house, and how many people have their chimney stuffed because they're afraid to light the fire?
Yeah.
And then they forget about the chimney being stuffed, and somebody gives them a bit of coal, and then there's a fire.
And then if the fire brigade is called, there's a fee for that. So we won't go into the negatives. We'll stick with the positives, right?
Yes.
Vincent de Paul focused quite a lot on education. Uh-huh. Like, everybody thinks the way forward in anything is education, as such. And you would always prioritise education. You might have to get somebody's books or maybe a uniform or help towards a uniform or whatever. And, we're all agreed that education is the way forward.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
And I suppose I was always passionate about education, because I firmly believe if we educate children from the ground up, from the time they're born, get them through a creche, then get them through junior school, senior school. And I must say that it gives us great pleasure to be able to sit in with the family and help them to get their children through second level education. We have a number of people who have gone on to third level education, and to see them coming out with degrees. Now, we would not be in a position to pay college fees, but we would be able to help them with their LEAP cards, their everyday living. They have to be clothed, they have to be fed. And it's these sort of things that we plough our money into. We would make sure that people have enough money to pay their bills, because if they're giving out to their children going to college, and every child should be treated the same. You know, it doesn't matter what background you come from. If a child is going to college, every child needs a few bob in their pocket to be able to have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. They need money for going to various things associated with their studies. And the
extracurricular
number,
stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would deal with a lot of these people, and so many of them are so willing to help because, you know, they, we always say there's no shame in being poor. You know, and it's lovely to hear people say, well, I would never have got my degree only for you. And that gives us great pleasure as well. But it's also good for us to be able to say to people, that is where your money is going. Because we stand outside the church collecting every single month, and we have to be answerable to people for how we spend their money. And I think it's up to us to make sure we have to be transparent and that the money is spent properly. Now, we do not give money to people to be paying college fees or to be buying books. What we do is we would go to the schools ourselves and we would pay the schools directly. Therefore, the children are not humiliated by saying to the teacher, I don't have money for books or whatever, you know. We just say, leave that with us and we will look after it.
And of course, that's a very sensible arrangement, you know, and everything will be anonymous.
Oh, it is, of course.
Yeah,
it
anonymous.
Is.
And if you're getting whatever it is for Jimmy or Jane, it'll be anonymous. Then nobody will know anything about it.
It's all anonymous.
Yeah.
I think you know so much. Well, all our work really is confidential. You know, but we do work with other agencies.
We have a great
networking system just to make sure that one family get help from four or five agencies and another family is not getting help at all. And therefore, it's the importance of working, of networking, that we would do our work.
And now this brings me back to another question. Does MABS help you out quite a lot? MABS.
They would.
People were going to money lenders and all this stuff.
That's
and they were getting, you know, the debt was accumulating at a huge rate.
Yes.
And MABS would be able to do the accountancy.
We would be very friendly with MABS and we would have a very good working relationship with them.
Yeah.
And we would just tell our clients to ring MABS and we would check in with MABS, you know. But they would also let us know if they have a long waiting list, you know, where our families will be on the waiting list. So in the meantime, we're not going to see them stuck.
Yeah.
We would make sure.
A very sensible approach.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we have our books checked every single year.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't like to be responsible for doing books.
No way will you be responsible.
There's all, everybody has different chores to do, you know. Yeah. We're all good at different things in our own way.
Yeah. And what kind of membership would this, in general, Vincent de Paul have?
Well, we would have roughly 9,000 members, volunteers.
Everything is volunteer.
Oh, yes, we're all volunteers, we are. But some people have more time, time commitment to the Vincent de Paul than others. Well, naturally, if people are working, they can only do their calls at night. It is not safe, really, to be going into a lot of areas at night time. But we must work in twos,
Oh, yes.
We must work in twos.
And not having to be from the area.
That's right. Oh, yes. Yeah. And we have to... We carry our ID cards. Mm-hmm. We've all been Garda vetted. And we have to be, you know. So we're as transparent as we possibly can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now this year, is there anything special you're running before Christmas or during Christmas? Any fundraisers or anything?
Well, no, not fundraising as such, because the Giving Trees are a big part. We do have lots of parties for the senior citizens.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And a Christmas party.
We would, oh, yes, I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. And people living in old folks' complexes, a lot of them don't have any place to go on Christmas Day. So we have another very good working relationship with the RDS. The Knights of Columbanus. We would, some of our members give up their time on Christmas morning, or they get their children to do it, to drive over to the RDS and collect takeaway dinners, and they will always be given a dinner for Christmas Day and for St. Stephen's Day. People, if they do go to their own families at Christmas, it's nice for them to come home and to think that they have a dinner ready for them, handed to them on a plate, you know. And I must say, the people in who work tirelessly at that time of year in the RDS, we are just so thankful to them for the great work they do. And that just doesn't happen overnight. It's all preparation.
And of course, then there's Brother Kevin. Down in Bowlane, where we were talking about
Church
that.
Street,
the man was coming up.
Yes, I would know Brother Kevin very well.
He was coming up Bowlane this morning, and he was amazed at the amount of people that were giving up. Well, you guess what it was about.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely amazed, you know.
And well, you know, we start, 14 years ago, Tommy O'Brien was in here once or twice with you talking about various things, and I asked Tommy if he would get carol singers and I'd get collectors, and we would go out on O'Connell Street and collect for Brother Kevin.
Yeah.
So the first year we collected, it was pounds at the time, we collected £4,000, and our collections now have gone up to over 50,000 on one day.
That's a huge amount, and it goes a lot. That'll go. I know that you won't be squandering it.
We don't even count it. No, Brother Kevin has an arrangement with the police, and we would have it also.
Yeah.
That the police come along every few hours and take the buckets, you know, and all that money is counted. But Brother Kevin will say he is so dependent on that income for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have choirs coming from various parts of the country to take over, you know, so there's new blood all the time,
which
is great.
And continue.
You know, and these people really have the spirit of Christmas to stand outside the GPO and sing and play for hours on end.
And maybe in the freezing weather.
Oh, you can say that again, yes. But I mean, you do it for the love of the cause.
And I've seen people sleeping on the ground outside the GPO.
Yes.
And I came down Dame Street from City Hall there one evening, maybe a month ago, it was dark. And the amount of people sleeping in doorways, I just didn't believe it. I think I counted 8 between the City Hall and the bus stop.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's only a fraction of it.
Yes, well, when you see young people sleeping in graveyards, standing up behind stones, it would take tears from a stone.
Of course it
and
would.
I know myself, if I was out one night and I stood
only
at a bus
last
stop last
week. It mightn't even last the full night.
Yes, well, I stood at a bus stop last week for 40 minutes, and at the end of it I had no feeling in my hands or feet. And I kept saying to myself, thanks be to God, I have a home to go to with some heat in it.
Yeah.
And if I didn't, I would be one of those unfortunates having to sleep rough.
There seems to be no solution in sight. The situation seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And
it is. The numbers are rising all the time.
And quite a lot of them are... Well, I won't say quite a lot, but a few of them or non-nationals, and so she came over hoping to get work and all sorts of bits and pieces, you know.
Yes.
And then people are dying on the street.
People are dying of hunger.
Yeah.
I heard a man on the radio this morning talking about doing up people's teeth, standing outside the GPO.
Yeah.
And the man was interviewed and he said, I do it on a voluntary basis because these people have no place to go to have their teeth looked after.
Yeah. And everything is essential, you know, and have good footwear and all sorts of bits and pieces.
Yes, and I also have to say a very sincere thank you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, to all these organisations who give bed clothing, duvets, warm socks, warm gloves and everything to be given out to these people who unfortunately have to sleep rough.
Yeah. And definitely, if you're sleeping in your clothes,
and
every night,
and
the only one shower, one setting.
Yes.
Yeah, and like I say, you can't even get washed.
Yes, and then their health deteriorates.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the first thing that's going to go.
Yes.
There is a van goes around, or a little hospital van, or whatever the name of it is, and there's nurses or something.
They also have a vet, which I think is very nice. I saw that from Merton's Quay the other day. They have a vet in looking after their dogs. And as Father Peter McVary said in his article, a dog is a man's best friend.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, it could be for about 20 years of his life.
Yes, of course.
You know?
Yes.
I never envisaged dogs, but however, they're on the scene anyway.
Oh, they are, yes.
And we met with Father McBurney, maybe up and down. And the amount of work he does is absolutely horrendous.
Oh, it is. There are loads
gigantic
of people out there who do tremendous work.
Yeah.
And it's not highlighted because they want to remain hidden and unknown.
Yeah, unsung.
But somebody
sung
has
heroes.
To be. There has to be unsung heroes.
Well,
but somebody has to be out up front.
Yeah. Well, if we didn't have volunteering in this country, the whole place would collapse.
Of course it would. I think we're one of the best countries in the world for volunteering and for giving. For giving, we're always giving.
Well, I'm afraid, Kay, we've come to the end of our time, and I'd like to thank you for coming in. We always say to have you in this about this time of the year.
That's right.
Give us an update on what's going on. And we'll be in touch with it now and then, see what's happening. And if there's any fundraising events or anything of that nature, just give us a buzz and we'll make sure it's all there. Right?
So, Austin, I would like to take this opportunity of thanking all the people who give to the Giving Tree, to the people who give so generously in our Churchgate collections, and to all the people who drop in envelopes anonymously.
Now, just last question. Have you still got the shop on Coolock?
Well, unfortunately, there was a fire in the shop. It was burnt deliberately, unfortunately. And the shop will not be fit for reopening until, I think it is, the end of January. It is sorely missed. But then we do have the shop in Colester, and we have another shop down in Greendale, you know, and people are very welcome to go there to drop in some materials. But the shop in Coolock is so sadly, sadly missed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the best resourced shops we have in, I think it's 42, 43 shops we have now in the Dublin region.
Well, as soon as it's resurrected, we'll be putting out the call for articles for whatever.
Yes.
Right? And you say by the end of January.
Yes,
it'll be the new year.
Oh, it will be the new year, definitely.
Yeah. And maybe we'll do a big launch on it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll see what happens, right?
Okay, so Austin, thank you very much. And have a very happy Christmas to you and your family as well.
Right,
and to all in Near FM Radio. Thank you.